بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected sisters, elders, honorable mothers, amongst the many titles that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen for the month of Ramadan is the title Shahrul Muwasat. Shahrul Muwasat means it is a month of caring, it is a month of sharing. It is a month of expressing our compassion, our love, our kindness to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many other titles as well that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given this month. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to it as Shahr al-Sabr, the month of patience, a month of tolerance, a month wherein we are required to develop within us, or at least enhance within us, this quality and this attribute of tolerance. So this month of Ramadan is an exercise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity wherein we can develop many good attributes and qualities that will make us beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will allow us to maintain these qualities and attributes and to display the good qualities that we develop in the month of Ramadan throughout the course of the year. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to Ramadan as Shahr al-Sabr. It is a month of patience. Shahr al-Baraka. It is a month of blessings. Shahr al-Sayyid al-Shuhur. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called it the lead of all the months. So there are different titles. And through the titles, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wishes to draw our attention to those attributes and qualities that we are required to develop during the month of Ramadan. The title that I would like to speak of this morning is Shahrul Muwasat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is the month of caring, the month of developing within you the quality of generosity. The generosity of caring, the quality of caring, the quality of sharing, the quality of showing our love and concern for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwad an-nas. He said, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was undoubtedly the most generous of people. You could not find anyone who was more generous than the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدْ مَا يَكُونَ فِي رَمَطَانِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity, his attribute of sharing and caring, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, it reached its maximum. This generosity in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached its highest point, it reached its peak when? During the month of Ramadan. So Allah has blessed us with this opportunity to develop and to enhance within us this noble quality of generosity. As-sakhiyu qareebun min Allah, qareebun min al-jannah, qareebun min al-nas, ba'eedun min al-nar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about the generous person, that woman who has developed this quality of generosity in her and who spends of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed her with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, number one, what is the very first benefit that she derives from her generosity is qareebun min Allah. She's close to Allah. She enjoys the qurb of Allah. What is qurb? She enjoys the close proximity of Allah azza wa jal. And that is exactly what we wish to achieve throughout our lives. Throughout our lives, we are struggling for one thing and for one objective and one purpose. And what is that? To draw closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Qurb ilallah, it is known as Qurb. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and more so during the month of Ramadan, you want to enjoy the proximity of Allah. And perhaps you have experienced it at the time of tahajjud, when you lift your hands and you raise your hands in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wonderful feeling that you enjoy at that time, when you are communicating with Allah, that is Qurb. That is Qurb ilallah. You're enjoying proximity to Allah at the time of iftar, when you have spent the whole day in a state of hunger and in a state of thirst, and now you raise your hands to Allah Azza wa Jalla and you are communicating with Allah, there's that enjoyment, there's that pleasure in talking to Allah. That is qurb ilallah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this qurb, this proximity, is enjoyed by a generous person. Qareebun min Allah, a generous person. She enjoys closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. She is close to Allah. Al-khalqu kulluhum iyalallah, wa habbu khalqihi ilayhi anfa'uhum li'iyali. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a hadith, that Allah's creation, the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the dependents of Allah. They are like the family of Allah Azza wa Jal, the whole creation of Allah. فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِهِ إِلَيْهِ أَنْفَعْهُمْ لِعِيَالِهِ So the most beloved creation of Allah to Allah is the one who is of greatest benefit to the family of Allah, to the creation of Allah. If someone acts generously towards a family member of yours, someone is kind towards a family member of yours, someone is always spending on a family member of yours, of course that person will become beloved to you. Why? Because he is attending or she is attending to the needs of one of your family members. Similarly, Rasulullah says, the most beloved person, the most beloved lady, the most beloved believer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is of greatest benefit to the family of Allah. The family of Allah referring to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the very first benefit and perhaps the greatest benefit that you can acquire through your generosity, through your spending, especially during the month of Ramadan, is you will enjoy close proximity to Allah. Number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْجَنَّةِ A generous person is close to Jannah. So your generosity draws you closer to Allah, but not only will it draw you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, your generosity draws you closer to Jannah. It draws you closer to paradise. Paradise, Jannah, anticipates the arrival of a generous person. Jannah looks forward to the arrival of that woman, that believer in Allah Azza wa Jal, who spends of the wealth that Allah has blessed her with, spends it on others, on those who are less fortunate and those who are in need of assistance. Rasulullah says in a hadith that خلق الله جنة عدن بيدي Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created Jannatu Adn, a special garden in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it with special care. Allah ta'ala created it with special attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it with special attention and care. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَدَلَّى ثِمَارَهَا وَشَقَّ أَنْهَارَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the fruits of Jannah to draw close and to hang down. وَشَقَّ أَنْهَارَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the rivers of Jannah to flow. Allah let the sweet waters of Jannah gush forth. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then glanced to Jannah after preparing it and beautifying it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jannah, Takallami, O paradise, speak. Allah gave Jannah the ability to speak. And when Jannah spoke, what did she say? She said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ O Allah, what more can I say? Other than, fortunate are the believers who will reside within me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَا يُجَاوِرُنِي فِيكِ بَخِيلٌ O Jannah, I take a qasam, by my grandeur, by my honor, that I will not allow a miser to set foot in you. So, قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْجَنَّةِ A generous person, that woman who develops this quality of generosity within her, she draws close to Allah, she draws close to paradise. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ She is close to the people. People love her. People are attracted to her. She is generous. People love generosity. She is kind. She is compassionate. She expresses her love and care to the creation and to others, those who are in need. So the people within her society love her. So she is close to them as well. قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ Al-Imam al-Shafi'i رحمه الله تعالى would say, تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ كَمَا قِيلَ السَّخَاءُ تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ كَمَا قِيلَ السَّخَاءُ He would say that conceal your weaknesses, hide your shortcomings, conceal your offensive behavior through acts of charity. We are all full of weaknesses. We have our fair level of shortcomings, and we are all guilty of certain offensive behaviors that we have within us. So he says, conceal these weaknesses and conceal these shortcomings that you have within you. How do you do it? He says, tasattar bis-sakha, be generous. Why? Then through your generosity, people will choose to overlook your shortcomings. People will choose to ignore your offensive behavior because of the generosity that you display. So through your generous nature, people will be attracted to you. So you are drawn closer to Allah through generosity. You come closer to Jannah, closer to paradise through generosity. قَرِيبٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Your generosity draws you closer to the people. The people love you. They are attracted to you. And number four, Rasulullah SAW says about the generous woman, بَعِيدَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. She is kept far away from hellfire. Your generosity will act as a shield between you and the fire of Jahannam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advises Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he says, Ya Aisha, istatiri min an-nar walau bi shiqqi tamra. Oh Aisha, safeguard yourself, protect yourself from the fire of Jahannam, even if you only have half a date to give in charity. All you have at home, a beggar comes at the door, and sometimes you feel, I do not have much to give the beggar, so you turn the beggar away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give the beggar one slice of bread. Why? That one slice of bread on the day of Qiyamah and in the Akhirah, that half a date can act as a shield, as a barrier between you and the fire of Jahannam. Why is that? Because it is not the act which earns value. It is not the size and the weight of the act, but it is the intention which adds value to the act. So an act might seem as insignificant. And sometimes because it may seem so insignificant, we choose not to do it. Okay? But it's not the act itself or the size of the act or the greatness of the act which is really of importance and of significance, but it is the niyyah, the intention. Your intention is what adds value to the act. And when Allah weighs your deeds in Akhirah, Allah is weighing the intention that you made, the heaviness of that intention, the sincerity in that intention. So Rasulullah tells her, if all you have to give, O Aisha, is half a day, give it. But ensure that the niyyah that you give it with, the intention you give it with, is sincerely done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And you will find that even that seemingly, outwardly insignificant act will act as a great source of benefit for you in Akhirah. It will draw you away from the fire of Jahannam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ. When a certain verse of the Quran was revealed, which verse was that? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorting us to spend of the wealth that Allah has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse. Allah says, who is there who will advance to Allah, who will give to Allah قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, a handsome loan, a good loan. Who is out there who will loan Allah of the wealth that she possesses? So a certain Sahabi by the name of Abu Dahdah radiallahu ta'ala, when this verse was revealed, he immediately came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah yuridu minna al-qard, O Nabi of Allah, allow me to understand this, help me unpack this verse of the Quran. Is Allah really asking us for a loan? Is Allah really asking us to advance a loan to Him and to give Him of the wealth that He has blessed us with? So Rasulullah says, Na'am ya Abu Dahdah, yes, you have understood correctly. That is exactly what Allah is asking for. Allah is asking you for a loan. So what did he say? He says, Arini yadak fanawalahu yadah. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, extend your hand to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extended his Mubarak hand. He held onto the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Inni qad aqradu rabbi ha'iti wa fi ha'iti 600 nakhla. O Nabi of Allah, I have surrendered an orchard of mine. This orchard, O Nabi of Allah, it has 600 fruit-bearing date palms. It's such a huge orchard, a garden which I own. It's my prized possession, O Nabi of Allah. I have donated this to Allah. I have given it to Allah as a loan. Allah has asked me for a loan. This is the loan which I have advanced to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he surrendered this entire orchard. When he left, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, who says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He was so impressed by the generosity of Abu Dahdah that as he left, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kam min itqin raddah li Abu Dahdah fil Jannah." Three times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the statement. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Allah alone knows how many vineyards, how many orchards, how many gardens Abu Dahdah will enjoy in Jannah in exchange for this one orchard that he had surrendered for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Abu Dahdah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he leaves and he goes towards that orchard which he had donated for the pleasure of Allah. As he approaches the orchard, he realizes his wife, she is seated in the garden, she is in the orchard, she is there with the children, and they are all enjoying the beautiful orchard. They are eating of its fruits, they are enjoying the cool breeze, they are drinking of the sweet waters of this wonderful orchard. And now he has to break the news to his wife, Abu Dahdah, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he doesn't come into the orchard because he feels he does not want to benefit from this orchard anymore. He has already donated it to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he stands on the outside of the orchard and he shouts out to his wife who is inside and he says, "Ya Umm Dahdah, ukhriji min al-ha'id. O Umm Dahdah, leave this orchard, come out of the garden. Fa'inni qad bi'tuhu binakhlatin fil jannah. I have sold this orchard of ours which belongs to us. I have sold it in exchange for a better orchard which we will enjoy in Jannah." Now he's come home and he's just broken this news to his wife unexpectedly. And how does she react? How does she respond? Ask yourself, how will one of us respond if my husband comes home and tells me the beach flat which we own, he's given it away, or some investment of his, he's just donated it towards a charitable cause? What will be my first reaction? So, immediately when she hears her husband making the statement, she says, "Rabih al-bay'." She says, "Wow, amazing. Rabih al-bay'. May Allah put barakah. May Allah bless you in this transaction that you have enacted with Allah. You have hit a lucrative deal. What a wonderful deal you have made, O my husband. You have sold this orchard of ours in exchange for an orchard that we are to receive in Akhirah. There's no better deal that I could have asked for." And immediately she starts leaving the garden. And the children, they had some fruits in their pockets, some dates in their pockets. She dusted out their pockets, whatever fruits were in their mouth. She took those out from their mouth. Why? Because now everything in this orchard belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It no longer belongs to them. They are hoping to acquire an orchard in return for this in Jannah. So it no longer belongs to them. The important thing that we learn from this is her reaction, the reaction of Umm Dahdah. This is what we refer to as commonality in interest, where both husband and wife have a common desire, a common aspiration, a common interest, and a common objective in life. And what is that? To earn the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is how it should be, that together we are always engaging in such activities, such actions together with emphasis on the word together, as a family, as husband and wife, and with the children together. We are moving together in one direction. We have one objective and one purpose in life, and what is that? To earn the pleasure of Allah. This is commonality in interest, and this is what we need in every relationship in order for that relationship to succeed. Because if the husband is moving in one direction, And the wife, she's moving in a different direction, then there are going to be extreme levels of friction between the two. And then the environment in the home will become an unpleasant one and the children will be left confused. Who do we follow? Which direction do we move in? So this is very important in our homes. We need commonality and interest. And what should that interest be? A common interest, a common aspiration, a common desire is to earn the happiness of Allah together. And Allah speaks of this in the Quran. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. That, you know, at-tawasi bi sabr, you can't do it alone, you can't do it on your own. Allah has put people in your life to help you get to Allah. Allah has blessed you with a husband. Why? So that you introduce your husband to Allah. That's why he's in your life. Allah has given you a son, Allah has blessed you with a daughter. There's a primary objective why you share a relationship with those people in your lives. Why you have a husband, why Allah has blessed you with a daughter, why Allah has blessed you with a son. What's the primary objective? Yes, there are secondary objectives. There are secondary objectives. You have to attend to certain needs of theirs. There are certain rights that they have over you that you need to fulfill. Those are secondary objectives. But the primary objective, which is unfortunately the most unspoken objective in our relationships today, the primary objective is Allah blessed you with a husband so that you introduce and you open his eyes to Allah. And he has a similar objective. Allah has blessed you with a daughter. Why has Allah blessed me with this gift, this daughter, so that I may introduce her to Allah? Allah has blessed me with a son, so that I may introduce my son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the primary objective of the relationship you share with that person. And once Aisha Fatima radiallahu ta'ala comes home, and a sahabi says, Suwayd bin Ghafla radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Asabat Aliyan Khasasa. Aliyan radiallahu ta'ala was hungry. He was extremely hungry. He was starving that day and there was nothing to eat. And this was an ordinary day in the life of Sahaba, where they had no food in their homes. It wasn't a day from the days of the month of Ramadan. So he tells his wife Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, لو أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسألتيه, listen Fatima, we do not have any food at home. Why do you not go to your father's house and ask him if he has some provision for us, if he has something for us to eat? So Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She knocks at the door, permission is granted, she comes into the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in a very subtle way, she presents her request to the Nabi of Allah. She's come for food, she wants something to eat. So she says, Ya Rasulullah, inna hadhihi al-malaika ta'amuha at-tahleel wa-tasbih wa-tahmeel fama ta'amuna. O Nabi of Allah, the angels, their source of nutrition, their source of energy is the tasbih that they make, the dhikr of Allah that they make. That is how they receive energy, and that is their food. That is their source of nourishment. But what about us? We as humans, O Nabi of Allah. So Rasulullah ﷺ understands the subtle request of his daughter. So he says, Ya Fatima, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ مَقْتُبِسَ فِي آلِ مُحَمَّدْ نَارٌ مُنْذُ ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمٍ. You have come to my door, O Fatima. You have come to the door of your father, but you have come to the wrong person, because for the past 30 days, a decent meal was not prepared in my home. My sister, this is an ordinary day in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ. Hunger was the order of the day. This is not the month of Ramadan. This is the challenge they were at to face with. You see, you and I, every one of us, we enjoy a relationship with Allah, right? You have a relationship with Allah. And it is the most amazing relationship if you will allow the relationship to develop into something amazing. If you will allow that relation to flourish into something really worth your while. But in a relationship, there needs to be mutual contribution. In any relationship, between husband and wife, they enjoy a relationship. If there's only contribution, active contribution from one partner, the wife, she's the only one who's contributing towards the relationship, and there's no real active contribution or participation from the husband, what happens? The relationship will collapse. So in any relationship, there has to be mutual contribution towards the relationship. In order for that relationship to flourish into something really awesome, into something really amazing, there has to be mutual contribution. So like this, you and I, we enjoy a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And Allah is contributing towards the relationship on a daily basis. Allah has allowed you to come this morning to sit and listen to the talk related to Allah and His Rasul and the beautiful words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fact that Allah allowed you to come here this morning is a sign of Allah's love for you. And that's why Allah has brought you here. So Allah is contributing, okay? Allah has allowed you to fast this day. Allah is contributing towards a relationship. Allah provides for you. Allah is contributing. Allah gives you a home. Allah blesses you with children. Allah has blessed you with iman. Allah has blessed you with so many different blessings out there and favors. That is Allah's contribution towards the relationship that you share with Allah. We also need to contribute towards that relationship. There's a contribution that we need to make. Otherwise, the relationship falls flat. Now, the Sahaba and Rasulullah ﷺ, this was their contribution. Starving, staying hungry, not having food in their homes, going for days on end with nothing to eat. Now, that is not demanded from you and I. That was their level of contribution that they were required to make. Right? You and I, Allah does not demand that from us. Allah is not asking us to abandon our food, and Allah is not depriving us from food. In fact, Allah is feeding us, right? So, but there are different contributions that we need to make. We also need to contribute towards the relationship that we enjoy with Allah. What are the contributions? What are the challenges that you and I have today? There are so many challenges out there. There are the demands of society. Today's society tells you what to wear, how to wear it, how much or how little to wear. Society decides what you drive. Society decides what you eat, where you eat. All these, you know, these are challenges that we have before us. So you have the demands of society, and then you have the demands of Allah. So what is the challenge? Are you going to succumb to the demands of society? Or are you going to compare the demand of Allah to the demand of society, and where you find that by satisfying the demand of society, you are going to dissatisfy your Allah? Choose what Allah has chosen for you. That is your contribution towards the relationship that you enjoy with Allah. Whenever you are faced with this type of a situation, where it is a choice between the demands of Allah and the demands of your nafs, something you desire. You know, we are told, I'm going to digress from the topic. Our topic this morning is Shahrul Muasat, the month of caring. I want to focus on generosity and developing within us this quality of generosity during the month of Ramadan and allowing it to remain with us throughout the year. Allow me to digress for a moment. We were speaking about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the need for us to contribute towards that relationship. So we are asked, or rather we are taught in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will not be a true believer and a perfect believer until and unless you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love your children, more than you love your parents, more than you love your own self. Now many of us, we will say, yes, of course, I do love the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than I love anyone else. It's a statement that we can easily make. But when is our love tested? When do I really know? And what does it mean? What does it mean that I love the Nabi of Allah more than I love myself? What does it really mean? When you are faced with a situation, right? And it's your desire. There's something you really want to do. You desire to do it. You really want to do it. But it goes against the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It goes against the demand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you give preference to the demand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over your desire, then that means you love the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you love yourself. If your child comes up to you and your child makes a certain demand on you, and you know that by fulfilling that demand you are going to dissatisfy the demand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then you choose the demand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over what your child wants from you, then you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you love your child. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is hungry, he's at home, there's nothing to eat. Fatima goes to her father's house to ask him for something to eat. And, you know, we said that hunger was the contribution they made. Once Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that dakhaltu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yusalli jalisa. Once I came to visit the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing his salah while seated. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا أَصَابَكَ. O Nabi of Allah, why are you sitting your salah while seated? Are you not feeling too well? What's happening? Are you not strong enough? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلْجُوعْ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ. O Abu Huraira, I am starving. I'm hungry. I have nothing to eat. And I'm so hungry, I do not have the strength to stand up and perform my salah. So this was, you know, the order of the day is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Fatima, I shall teach you 5 words of glorification. I do not have anything to give you. But I want you to learn these 5 words of glorification and glorify Allah through these 5 words. Jibreel alayhi salam has taught me, a moment ago before you came, he has taught me these 5 words of glorification. What are they? Ya awwal al-awwaleen, ويا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she learns these words and she goes back. Now what was I speaking of? Commonality and interest. Both husband and wife must have a common objective and purpose and interest in life, and that should be to earn the happiness of Allah. You got to encourage one another. It's, you know, after the month of Ramadan, you find that you are, or your husband is lagging behind on his Quran recitation, you need to pick him up. lift him up. They, come on, remember the month of Ramadan, you used to read one part a day. You got to support one another, encourage one another. Right? If you feel you are falling short, then your husband should be telling you that, come on, remember the dua that you make at the time of tahajjud. Remember the fast that you have to observe. Let's keep going. And together the two of you just keep on encouraging, motivating one another, and you move forward and move forward and move forward like this. You are there to help and support each other, and you are there to help and support your children until together, all of you as one family, you reach that amazing position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with every one of you. So it's all about helping each other. It's not about doing it on my own, or I'm going solo, and you know what, if he's not doing it, it's fine. You know what, it's his salah, it's his business, it's his deen, I'm just going to go on with my life. If my child is not so interested, then you know what, no, Allah has placed the child there in your life so that you take the child by the hand, you take her and you take him and you take your husband by his hand, and together the two of you tread the path that leads you to Allah. So it's not about walking the path alone. It's about taking all those around you, along with you, and that's part of generosity. So when she comes home, so Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who is expecting her to come home with something to eat, so he says, Ya Fatima, ma wara'ak? Fatima, what did you come with? Where's the food? You know, did you place the order? When can we expect delivery? So she says, Ya Ali, ذهبت من عندك إلى الدنيا. Oh, Ali, when I left the house, okay, when I left the house, I told you I'm going to come back with something of this dunya. وأتيتك بالآخرة. But I brought something back of the akhirah. Nothing of the dunya, I couldn't bring any food for you of the dunya, but I brought something that is of spiritual help to you for the akhirah, that will help you in your akhirah. Ali رجل, this is commonality in interest. Remember Umm Dahdah, when her husband came home and told her that he surrendered the orchard for the pleasure of Allah, she became excited and she was happy. She was, wow, what an amazing deal you made with Allah. I'm so happy, my husband. Together they moved forward, earning the happiness of Allah. Yeah, look at Ali, the husband's reaction. Look at his response. When he hears Fatima saying this, he forgets his hunger. He's so excited. He says, Ya Fatima, khayra ayyamik. Fatima, this is the best day of your life. This is the best day of your life. You have preferred akhirah, something of the year after, over something of this dunya. What more can I say? Coming back to our discussion, we were speaking about generosity and how we are required to develop this noble attribute which will make you beloved to Allah. Really, let us learn to spend of the wealth that Allah has given us. Let us not be from those who will hoard, and when spending, they spend with a heavy heart, and they find it difficult to spend, and they do not look for opportunities to spend. You should look for opportunities to spend. Every opportunity that comes your way, you are treading this path. This is a road that leads you to Allah. Upon this road, as you are moving in life, along this path that you are moving in life, there are opportunities that drop in front of you from Allah. These are opportunities from Allah. They just fall out in front of you. You didn't ask for them. Okay? All of a sudden, there's a beggar, a genuine beggar at your door. That is an opportunity from Allah. Allah has sent that beggar to your door because Allah is giving you the opportunity to earn your akhirah, to earn closeness to Allah. Do not become annoyed. You know, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, when the beggars would come to his door, he would become so happy and excited. He would say that, marhaban, marhaba, welcome, welcome. He would tell the beggars, Naam, you have come to wash away my sins. Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, when the beggars would come to his door and he would see a beggar or somebody coming, somebody sincere of course, genuine, they have a genuine need. You know, it is a genuine need. The person really needs the assistance, they really need that food. They have no ulterior motives, and there is no fear of crime. There's no fear of any suffering and harm coming to yourself. Taking all that into consideration, you have a genuine case before you. There's somebody who really needs assistance, then he would become happy. And he would say, Ni'ma sa'ilun. He would say, Subhanallah, these beggars, these people who need assistance, they are wonderful people. They are so wonderful people. Why? He says, Yahmiluna azwadana ila al-akhirah bighayri ujra. He says, these people, what they are doing, these beggars, they are taking our provisions for the akhirah, and they are carrying our provisions. They are transporting our provisions and what we need for akhirah. They are transporting it for us, and they are taking it and they are placing it before Allah for us, بِغَيْرِ أُجْرَةٍ, and they are not charging us any transportation costs. So we need to change our whole outlook and our whole perception of charity. We feel that we are doing the poor person a favor. And until you have that perception and that outlook of charity, you will not be encouraged to spend all the wealth that Allah has blessed you with. But when you think that really, you know, this person, this beggar, this woman I'm assisting, or this person who I'm helping out, they are in actual fact doing me a favor by earning me and helping me earn great rewards, and by helping me gain the proximity of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you will look forward to every opportunity to spend. And you will spend with excitement from the wealth that Allah has given you. Once Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we know Ibrahim alayhi salam, he enjoyed a very special, special title. He was known as Khalil Allah. Khalil Allah, the very special friend and close friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim, Ya Ibrahim, inni lam attakhidhka khalilan ala annaka a'badu ibadili. Oh Ibrahim, I have not chosen you as my khalil. You are my special friend, but I have not chosen you as my special, special friend because of all the acts of worship that you do, because you are the greatest worshipper. I appreciate the worship, I appreciate all the acts of worship, but that is not what inspired me and motivated me to take you as my friend. وَلَكِنِّي اتَّلَعْتُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. But, O Ibrahim, I studied the hearts of mankind. فَلَمْ أَجِدْ قَلْبًا أَسْخَى مِنْ قَلْبِكَ. And I did not find a heart that was more generous than your heart. Your generosity, O Ibrahim, your generosity, your love for spending is what inspired me and motivated me to take you as my special servant. Now, there are many benefits of spending from the wealth that Allah has given us and being generous upon others. That is why Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to speak of charity, he would say, As-sadaqatu shay'un ajeeb, as-sadaqa shay'un ajeeb, as-sadaqa shay'un ajeeb. He would repeat these words over and over again. What does it mean? He says, sadaqa is something really amazing. It's just so amazing. Sadaqa, the benefits, the virtues of sadaqa, of spending of the wealth that Allah has blessed you with, he says it's really an amazing deed, an act which every one of us, and a quality which every one of us should develop. Firstly, one of the greatest benefits of sadaqa, of charity, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's an angel who is specially appointed by Allah azza wa jal, and this angel makes a dua every morning with the rising of the sun. The angel makes the dua, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Oh Allah, the one who spends of the wealth, voluntarily spends of the wealth that you have blessed her with. Oh Allah, replace her. Give her a substitution. Give her something better in exchange for what she has given out for your pleasure, oh Allah. So this is a dua, you earn the dua. And Allah says, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Look, whatever you spend of your wealth, Allah is going to give it back to you. He might not give you money back, or He might not give you the food back, or He might not give you the time back that you have spent, but He might give it back to you in the form of health. He might give it back to you in the form of wealth. He might give it back to you in the form of a good relationship. He might give it to you in the form of pious children. But Allah will definitely give it back to you in this world. In Akhirah, there are great rewards that await you. But in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay you back for your act of generosity. مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. Sadaqah, Rasulullah says, charity never causes the wealth to decrease. It never decreases your wealth. But you might think to yourself, wait, hold on, if I've got 1,000 rand and I give 200 rand out in sadaqah, I'm sitting with 800 rands. So of course the wealth did decrease. What does Rasulullah mean when he says that sadaqah does not cause the wealth to decrease? What Nabi means is when you give out the 200 for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remaining wealth that you have, it captures the barakah of Allah. It captures the barakah of Allah. And what is barakah? Barakah is divine goodness that emanates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that is captured by something. Once something captures the divine barakah of Allah, it will take you a very long, long, long way forward in life. So a million rand without barakah is of no good to you. But 1,000 rand or 800 rand with the barakah is of far greater use and benefit to you. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the devil, he promises you poverty. The devil, when you feel that if I spend of the wealth that Allah has given me, then it will lead to me suffering. and not having enough wealth for myself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this insinuations and these thoughts that come to your mind are actually from shaitan. So the first benefit that you will enjoy when you spend of the wealth that Allah has given you is the dua of this angel that Allah replaces you and gives you something better in return. Secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that through your charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep away and Allah will turn away all misfortunes and calamities from you. Allah will avert any calamities from you. You will not live a life of difficulty. You will not live a life of problems. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to experience good fortune in your life. Bakiru bisadaqah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not delay in sadaqah. When it comes to spending of the charity, giving charity to others, especially during the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not procrastinate. This is an act you should never procrastinate in. You should never delay when it comes to sadaqah. Spend as much as you can. Why? فَإِنَّ الْبَلَىٰ لَا يَتَخَطَّ الصَّدَقَةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because a calamity cannot penetrate your sadaqah. When you have given out sadaqah, you have developed, you have created this fort around you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then calamities cannot reach you because of the charities that you have given out for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So another great benefit is through your charity. Allah says in the Quran, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْتَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Allah says, listen, you spend of the wealth that Allah has given you. Give sadaqah, give charity. Every now and again, look for that opportunity where you can spend on the needy, on the poor. Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Your whole life, Allah will allow you to experience good fortune. You will have good fortune. And you will only experience good in your life. Moving ahead, Allah ta'ala will يَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Allah will make it easy for you to experience all the good things in life. So that's the second benefit. The first benefit, just to recap, through your charity, Allah will replace you with something better in this world. Secondly, Allah ta'ala will keep away from you and from your home and from your family all the different types of calamities and crimes and misfortunes out there. Allah will keep that away from you. Number three, what is, and I've just listed a few benefits of charity. There are many, many acts of charity. Many benefits related to charity and generosity. The third, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, through charity you can speed up the healing process of the sick and the ill ones amongst you. Dawu mardakum bisadaqah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, treat the ill ones and those who are sick. Treat them through charity, through your generosity, and by spending on their behalf, on behalf of the ill and the sick, Allah Ta'ala will speed up their recovery process. Another benefit of charity, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, As-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadaba rabbik. Inna as-sadaqata latutfi'u ghadaba rabb. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, charity cools down the anger of Allah. Cools down the anger of Allah. So sometimes, if you feel you have angered Allah, you have done something you were not supposed to do. You have watched something you were not supposed to watch. You have visited a site that you were not supposed to visit. You have chatted with somebody you were not supposed to chat. You have developed a relationship with somebody you are not supposed to enjoy a relationship with. Or you have listened to something you are not supposed to listen to. You have eaten something that you are not supposed to eat. You have visited a place that you are not supposed to go to. You have spoken ill about somebody. You have made ghibat, backbite. You have committed some crime and some sin against Allah, some act of disobedience, and you are feeling remorseful and you feel that you have earned the anger of Allah. Rasulullah says, give out sadaqah. Give out some optional charity. Why? It cools down the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, in a rajulan abad Allah 70 sana. There was a man of the past who worshipped Allah for 70 years of his life. 70 years of his life, he dedicated it to the worship of Allah. So he was a great worshipper. Thumma asaba fahishatan. This man, he then fell into sin. He committed an act of zina and he earned the displeasure of Allah. So he lived a life of worship and then he committed this crime. And as a result of the sin, فَأَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ عَمَلًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped out his 70 years of worship. All those years of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed it all because he fell into this crime and into the sin of zina. ثم مر بمسكين فتصدق عليه برغيف. One day, this very same man, he was walking along and he came across a poor person. He came across a poor person, and what did he do? He had a loaf of bread with him, so he donated this loaf of bread to this poor person. A loaf of bread, that's all that he did. You and I might think, oh, it's just a loaf of bread, it doesn't mean anything, but remember, it's the intention. It's the intention that adds value to that loaf of bread. It's the intention that's going to add weight. So your intention's gotta be strong. Your intention's gotta have a lot of value. Your intention must be weight, full of weight. So even if it's just ₹5 you are giving the beggar who comes to your door, you know, make a sincere intention. You never know, subhanAllah, that ₹5 could be your means of entering the Jannah. There was a woman from Banu Israel. She was an adulteress by trade. That was her business. She was an adulteress by trade, and one day she was walking along and she saw a thirsty dog that was trying to draw out water from the mud. So she felt pity for this thirsty dog and she went down into the well and she brought out some water in her socks. She had leather socks on and she brought out water in her leather socks and she gave this thirsty dog, not even a human being but an animal, she gave this thirsty dog the water to drink. She showed that muasat. You know, we said this is a month of caring. It is a month of showing love to the creation of Allah. She showed affection and she showed care to a dog because the dog was thirsty. Allah loved that act of her so much that Allah forgave her. Allah forgave her and Allah granted her entry into Jannah. So this man, he passed by this beggar and he gave him a loaf of bread. فَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ذَنْبَهُ. Allah was so happy. Allah was so happy that the sin that he now committed, that act of zina, Allah forgave him for that sin. وَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ عَمَلَ السَّبْعِينَ سَنَةً. And the 70 years of worship, which Allah wiped out, Allah restored the 70 years of worship through that one act of generosity and kindness. So through your generosity, you are going to earn the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another great benefit of generosity is to bring joy to the heart of the next person. This is a great, great deed in Islam, to make others happy. My sister, never be one who's full of negativity and who gives off negativity. Never be such a person. Allah hates negativity. Rasulullah SAW comes in the hadith, يُعْجِبُهُ التَّفَاؤُلُ. Allah, Rasulullah SAW was an optimistic person. He loved optimism. He was full of positivity. When you are full of positivity, you will give off positivity. You will give off positivity in your home. Your husband will sense that positivity. Your children will sense that positivity. You are the powerhouse in the home. And you give off positivity, everything will be positive, everything will be good in the home. But you are full of negativity and you are just always looking at the negative aspects and criticizing and looking for the weaknesses in others, then you will only give off negativity. Your children will suffer as a result of that negativity. Your husband in your home will suffer as a result of that negativity. So be a positive person. Always give off positivity. Always bring joy to the hearts of others. Allah loves this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, O Rasul of Allah, what is the best deed? What is the best deed? Sahaba asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ayyul a'mali afdal? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, amazing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Idkhaluka as-surur ala al-mu'min. You know what Allah loves the most? The best deed in the sight of Allah is to bring joy to the heart of another believer. To bring happiness to the heart of somebody else. To lift the person's spirits. To say a good word to that person. The person is down and out. You do not come and compound the problem, but you say a good word to lift the spirits. Create some positivity in that person's heart. Allah loves this. It's the best deed. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave some examples. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, how can you bring joy to the next person? أَشْبَعْتَ جَوْعَتَ. The person is hungry, you provide some food for that person to fill the person's belly. You made the person happy. Allah loves this. There's no deed that Allah loves more than this deed. You have brought happiness to that person's heart by filling his or her belly. أَوْ كَسَوْتَ عَوْرَةَ. Or how else can you bring joy to the next person? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the person needs clothes. You provided some clothes for the person, especially now during the winter period. There are so many people who are facing harsh winter conditions and they are facing cold conditions. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, provide a garment for that person, even if it's one pair of gloves or a blanket, keep them warm, bring joy to them, bring warmth to them in this world, Allah will bring warmth to your heart in the Akhirah. You keep them warm in this world, Allah will keep you warm in Akhirah. So that's another way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you can bring joy to the heart of a person, أو قضيت له حاجة, or you fulfill that person's need. There's somebody in the community, you know, there's somebody in your family, they have a need, they require assistance. Help them, it will make them happy. When you make them happy, Allah will become happy with you. And this is the greatest deed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring joy to the next person. So this is another great benefit of generosity and being generous and spending on others, is that you will bring joy to their hearts. And Allah loves this act more than Allah loves any other deed. Lastly, I would like to conclude on this. And it is a statement of Al-Imam al-Sha'bi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam al-Sha'bi, rahimahullah, you know, like I mentioned and I said earlier, that understand you are benefiting from the charity. Do not feel you are doing the next person a favor. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Allah says, the true believers, those true women and the true men who believe in Allah, they are those who spend, and when they spend on others, and when they give others, and when they feed others, what do they say? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً. Listen, we don't want anything in return. وَلَا شُكُورًا. We do not even want a word of appreciation in return. We're not even expecting a word of yes. It is the duty of the one who benefits to thank. But you, as the donor, Allah says, do not even expect, do not even give with the intention of receiving appreciation in return. Why? Allah has appreciated it. Allah has appreciated it. وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, the good you do, your husband might not realize it, he may not see it, he may not appreciate the good you do. Your children, day and night you are doing for them, they may not appreciate it. Your parents, they sometimes may not appreciate the good you do. Allah says, don't worry about that. Don't do it expecting appreciation in return. Why? Allah has appreciated it. وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ. Listen, whatever good you do in this world to others, Allah knows of it. And Allah appreciates it. Right? So yes, it is the duty of the other person to appreciate and to give thanks. But you, as the one giving, Allah says it's fine. You just keep on giving. If they don't appreciate it, Allah appreciates it. So, this is what we need to understand. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَنْفَقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever good you spend of the wealth that Allah has given you, okay, whatever, if it's a cent, it doesn't mean, you know what, I don't have much that, so I can't spend. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, listen, when you cook, when you are cooking, إِذَا تَبَخْتْ, Nabi Sallallahu says, when you are cooking, then add some extra water to the curry, or add one or two extra pieces of meat to the curry, so that you can take out one serving from what you have cooked for your family, not what's left over. But before serving your family, you take out that one serving and one portion, pack it up, and give it to a hungry person. Nabi Sallallahu says, that's generosity, it's good enough. Okay, you can do that much. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says in the Quran, whatever you spend of good, فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ, it is for yourselves. You are doing it for your own self. It's coming back to you. We said, we discussed so many benefits. You are going to benefit. You are the sole beneficiary of the charity that you give to others. And that's why Imam Sha'bi, he says, مَنْ لَمْ يَرَ نَفْسَهُ إِلَىٰ ثَوَابِ الصَّدَقَةِ أَحْوَجِ مِنَ الْفَقِيرِ إِلَىٰ صَدَقَةِ فَقَدْ أَبْطَلَ صَدَقَةِ. He says, you know what? Your charity is only accepted by Allah. Your charity is only accepted by Allah when you firmly believe that I am more in need of the reward of the charity than the beggar is in need of the charity itself. That has to be the overwhelming feeling in my heart. When I'm giving that wealth, or when I'm giving the food, or when I'm being generous towards the next person, the overwhelming feeling in my heart, I should be convinced that I am more in need of the reward of this charity than this person is in need of the charity itself. I conclude with a verse of the Quran. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Allah says, listen, do not destroy your acts of generosity by expressing the favor, by bragging about it. Don't remind the person, and there shouldn't even be this thought in my mind that I have helped this person out, or I have spent on this person, I have fulfilled this person's need, so now this person should accommodate my requests, and this person should accommodate me whenever I require anything. Allah says, don't do this, don't do that. You shouldn't express the favor that you have done for others. You shouldn't speak about it. You shouldn't mention it. You shouldn't brag about it. You shouldn't seek, you know, through the charity that you have given, you shouldn't seek ways to make the person's life difficult and keep on reminding them of the good that you have done for them. Because Allah says, if you are going to do that, what are you doing? You are destroying the act of charity which you have just performed. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding, inshaAllah Ta'ala. We will conclude with a short dua.